have. And now we leave the committee of the new project of the church to explain to you exactly what we have.
So good morning, everyone. My name is Ramiz Sidaris, and I will be sharing this presentation with Albert. This presentation, as you may have known, is about the church expansion project. Can you all hear? Okay, so this presentation is about the church expansion project. Before I go on with the presentation, allow me to share with you some personal reflections and thoughts, being an active member of this church since 2009. So basically, back in 1989, when St. Mary was built, the number of Coptic families in Ottawa was about maximum 40 families. And it started with 30, as Tant Salwa is saying. So as you can see, very limited number of families back in 1989. Though they had this vision of establishing a Coptic church in Ottawa. God blessed them because of their work and their toil and their labor. We have now a church. Now we have grown to become a congregation of about 150 to 200 plus families. So that's, we're seeing an increase here of about 4 to 5 times in 25 years. That's a great blessing. So basically, I'd like by the end of this presentation that you think that this is not about a building. We're not merely building, like, you know, a bigger, like, compound or anything like that. But the real aim of this is to serve the growing needs of our congregation, specifically our youth and children. And I'll share with you some examples, and I'm sure that you all live with me from week-to-week basis. Let's start by Sunday school. So Sunday school classes are running in the church here, in the main building. Some of it, they are in the chorus, the two chorus. Some of them are sitting in the mezzanine. Some of them are sitting in the chapel downstairs in the basement. Other classes, they don't have spaces, so they go to Abuna's rooms, Abuna Shnuda and Abuna Marcos. The high school are always in St. John. And because we still don't have spaces, and we're so limited, so the other classes are going to the new house. So that's one example about Sunday school. As you can see, have very limited spaces, let alone sometimes no spaces whatsoever. Let's go to Friday night. You see that there is about 4 to 5 services competing for a space. So we have the family Bible study, we have the kids Bible study, we have the youth meeting, we have the graduate meeting. All of them are competing for space, whether here in the main church or in the basement. We have other activities that we would like to do, like scouts, but unfortunately, because of the lack of spaces, we can't. Let's see about the spaces for our youth. We don't have spaces for our youth to practice any sports activities, unfortunately. During the Lenten liturgies, you may have remembered that. You remember that the church is very crowded. Some people are lining up in the lobby. Some of them are sitting in the crying room, let alone the problem we have on a weekly basis because of parking spaces. We don't have parking spaces. So all of this to just to give you an idea about the problems that we have. This is not about a building as much as to serve the congregation and specifically our youth and our kids. So this presentation is about 45 minutes in length. It is followed by, at the end of it, it's followed by followed by Q&A sessions. So you will have the chance to ask questions. We're going to try to answer your questions as much as we can. If we don't know the answer, we're going to find it for you. So I will start by giving you an outline of this presentation. Basically, I'd like to give you an introduction, which is I did already. I'd like to give you a snapshot about the engineering committee that was established a year ago. I'd like to talk about the feasibility study. This feasibility study we've basically partnered with another architectural firm in Ottawa to come up with preliminary design options for a new building. What we're seeing here, as you're going to see in the next few slides, is like two buildings specifically. The first is a service building to service the youth. And the next one would be a larger church, a chapel, classrooms, and everything. We'd like to talk about the financial situation of the church. Engineers are always required to come up with cost estimates for their projects, which we've done. But we also needed to give the church an idea of if we want to go ahead with this project, how we're going to finance the project. So we're going to touch on that. Next steps going forward and Q&A. So currently, the footprint of the church as it stands right now is about 50,000 square feet, which is about 1.3 acres. As you can see on the screen, the church currently owes three houses, nine Park Mount, and nine Canfield Road, and 15 Park Mount. The feasibility study is recommending the church to go ahead and buy three additional houses, which are 11, 13, and 15 Park Mount. Excuse me, 11, 13, and 17 Park Mount. So the idea is to grow this square footage of the land where the church is from 52,000 square feet to about 100,000 square feet. This is about 2.3 acres in area. Now, the feasibility study is looking at phasing the new project into two phases. First one being the service building, followed by a larger church. We have studied so many options, as we're going to show you in the next few slides. Options whether to keep the land of the church, do the project on this existing land and property, or otherwise, maybe like buy a new land and build the whole project on it, or maybe like, you know, buy an existing church altogether. So we studied these three options specifically, but the recommendation of the committee was to keep the land of the church, expand this land, and carry out the project on the property here, on the land right here. We're going to explain to you how we came up with this recommendation, so on. Now, about the engineering committee, as I told you, established a year ago, have been meeting ever since, consisting of five members, some will being a representative of the Board of Deacons, four other engineers, Magid, Albert, Bishoy, and myself, and 2 minute takers, Paul and Jan. Now, as you can see, the engineering committee is diversified in terms of they are all engineers, they are civil, structural, mechanical, electrical. As a new committee, we had to have goals. What are we trying to achieve? The first goal for us was to really carry out a feasibility study, not based on our own persuasion or recommendation, but also partnering with another architectural firm, discussing with them, exploring with them other options, making sure that whatever option we're going to present to you is the option that will satisfy the needs, the current needs of the church, as well as the future needs. We needed to establish a roadmap, like any other project we're starting with. For any other project, you need a scope of work. After the scope of work, you need to have a team to carry out that scope of work. You need to have cost estimate, and you need to have a schedule. How long would it take me to implement this project or to make that project see light? How long? Is it a year? Is it 2 years? Is it 5 years? So we were required to provide a roadmap, kind of a vision and a plan for the church to implement the project. We needed to go back and assess the financial situation of the church in terms of our expenses, our revenues, expenses, whether we're going to ask for other, like, you know, finance from other institution or not. And also, we needed to explore all the options possible. As I told you, the option we started with was not to build everything right here. We thought also of other options, as we're going to explain in a few minutes. Most importantly, being a part of this congregation, we were very much interested in knowing your feedback to this project. So I just want to let you know that we're not here to influence you one way or the other. We're not here to tell you what to do. We're going to present to you all the facts so you can have a good decision, or so you can make an informed decision about the road forward and about how to move forward with this project. We're going to also present to you our recommendations, not only as member of the congregation, but also as professional engineers. So firstly, we needed to select an architectural firm to work with. We reached to our contacts, local architectural firms, and we reached to our brethren in St. George and St. Anthony's Church to draw on their experience with the design and construction of St. George and St. Anthony. They recommended to us one engineering firm, architectural firm, and we have interviewed one firm. We received 6 proposals. So basically, in order for us to know, okay, so which architectural firm we're going to give the project to, we had to establish first some selection criteria, some kind of evaluation scheme, if you will, based on 40% technical, meaning how well the architectural firm is going to meet the scope that we are requesting, how well they understand the project, how about their experience. 40% on technical, 40% on their past experience with other places of worship, specifically Orthodox places of worship. So that's 80. And 20% on price. As you know, the cheapest price is not always the best value. We received the 6 proposals in total. We studied them thoroughly based on this selection criteria. And we recommended one architectural firm that we ended up interviewing. This architectural firm is called N45, but don't worry about the name. It's the same architectural firm that worked in the design and construction of St. George and St. Anthony, basically. It scored high marks in terms of technical, in terms of past experience with Coptic Orthodox churches, Serbian Orthodox churches, Ukrainian Orthodox churches, as well as their price. It was very competitive. We sat with them. We ran several design progress meetings with them, coordination meetings. They proposed so many options, about 6 or 7, but one option was recommended. They provided us also a comparative layout about that option with Saint-Georges. So as you can see, in that option, St. Mary would grow to become a church that seats about 800 people. That's plus or minus. Like Saint-Georges. The area, the land in Saint-Georges was about 2.7 acres. For us, it's about 2.3 acres after we have bought the three remaining houses. So as you can see, we have a comparative land. We have a comparative project in terms of a church, but also we're going to have a service building. Now, in the next few slides, we're going to be talking about some preliminary concept designs for this project. So here we're showing basically the ground floor. We're showing that there is a gym. This gym is a basically high school size gym. We have, it can also like, you know, be functioning as a stage. We have a fitness room. There is a courtyard, the green area, that separates the service building from the church. I'd like to tell you that the details of all the plans are also downstairs. We have an info session for anyone who's interested in looking at the plans or looking at the spaces. Some of us would be downstairs to explain that in details. The second floor plan includes 10 classrooms for Sunday school. We have a guest studio for visiting bishops. We have a meeting room and a lot of additional other functional spaces. When you look at it, you will see that it really satisfies a lot of the needs we really and we currently have. The basement floor plan have a youth and study room. We have a chapel that seats 100. We have a playroom. And we have additional 5 Sunday school classes. So as you can see, we have total 15 Sunday school classes. We have chapel. We have a new church. We have a dining hall. We have a youth and meeting room. We have a gym for our youth and children to practice. The next step was to take the project and the designs and go to the city of Ottawa and meet with the chief planner over there to take their pre-approval on the project. We've done that on June 17th of 2016. We discussed the project in detail with them. They never had any major objections to the project whatsoever. But like any other engineering project, we needed to focus on the zoning because, as you know, once we bought the residential homes, we need to change the zoning to fit a church, a place of worship. So that's one thing that we needed to do. The other thing, they requested additional studies, civil, environmental, traffic. In the plans, there was proposed actually that the new church would have an entrance from Canfield, another entrance from Park Mount, and maybe another entrance from Green Bank. So imagine, once we do that, we need to make sure that these entrances would not hinder the traffic in Green Bank. So we needed to carry out also a traffic engineering study. So as I told you, civil, environmental, traffic engineering studies needed to be done prior to us going forward with the project. All in all, the chief planner in the city of Ottawa was not objecting the project. In the contrary, we found a lot of encouragement. We also needed to hold a pre-consultation meeting with the public. They call it a public consultation meeting. This way, our neighbors right here would be on the same page with us, and they will have acceptance of the project. They will see the value of this project to serve not only the church, but also the community. Now, in the next few slides, we'll explain to you how we're going to do that. And for that, I'd like to call upon Albert to share with us.
So, as Ramit mentioned, in any project, there is a technical side and there is also the financial side. So for this project, we had to look at the financial situation of the church and basically for the last 5-6 years, how the church is actually doing. So looking at this graph here, the blue line represents our income, our revenue every year. And in the last 3-4 years, it's hovering between 750,000 to 850,000 per year. The brown line here is our expenses, and it's pretty much tracking all the time our revenue, except for the last 2 years, you can see there's an increase in our expenses compared to our income. And to understand why we have this and where it's coming from, you can look at the green line, which is our equity. Equity means the houses we bought, like the houses around the church, Santa Maria land. So all of this adds value to the church, but it also increases our expenditure. So we looked at the church debts, what currently the church have to have as debts. And there is mainly three numbers here that we can look at. We have 250,000 of personal loans. We have around 300,000 for the houses that we already bought around the church. And we have around 120 for the Santa Mary cottage. So basically, we need to pay off those before we start actually the new building. Mainly the first two, because we can't demolition a house without paying it off to the bank. So we had to look also at what the current assets that the church has and how we can use this in the future of the project. So we found out that, you know, we have the Green Bank land, which we got an appraiser of how much this will cost. And it was between $2.5 to $3 million for this land. We also have the daycare, which is around $1 million. And the cottage with the land around it is around $500,000. So this is assets that we can use to start the project, and as we'll show this later on. So at this stage, we asked ourselves, is there any other options besides expanding the church on this land? We heard a lot of feedback from people saying, you know, why you build a church on a relatively small piece of land? Why you don't go out somewhere and take 8-9 acres, 10 acres, and build a church and maybe playgrounds, and just, if you dream, you dream big. If you go, you go, you go big. So this was the first idea we had to look for, is let's buy a land and build a new church. So we looked at this option in more details, as I will explain later. And we also looked at, you know, why wait a few years to collect the money and then to build a service building? Is there a church out there that we can buy that have a service building, that have enough parking lots that we can use? To do this, we plotted where the congregation of Santa Mary lives in Ottawa. And you can look at this map. All these red dots are basically one of us. You know, each family of us is represented by a dot here. The three crosses represent the three churches we have. Santa Mary, SMSM in the middle. And in the northeast is St. George. Looking at this, you can see very clearly that at the south end, which is basically Barhaven, this is where we have most of the congregation, followed by congregation growing at the west side too, at Kanata. Having this in mind, we start looking for lands in these areas. And we were very surprised and happy at the same time to find out that, yeah, you can buy a good piece of land, 8-10 acres, for less than $1 million. So it sounds very interesting to us, and it sounded very promising. The one for buying existing churches, we looked around Ottawa. We couldn't find anything in the areas we were interested in, but we looked around Ottawa in general, and we found that there is a couple of options of churches around Ottawa. But the problem is, it's no different than Santa Mary. All of them are limited in space. All of them have very limited parking spots. There's no buildings around them. There's no land even. So we found that this option is very, very challenging. To put things in perspective, we created like a comparison table between the three options. Option number one being establish the church here, the project here, grow the project and the church. Option number two is build the new church on a new piece of land. And option number three being buy a church, existing church. We set up a few criteria for comparison. The first criteria was market availability. Looking at option number one, for example, we own most of the land. We are only missing three houses, and we feel positive about buying these houses. So from the market availability point of view, we have a good chance of getting the three properties. Looking at option number two, finding land, yes, same thing. We found easily find a land for this option. When you look at the third option, as I mentioned, this one was very challenging, close to impossible to find the church that can suit our needs. So based on this criteria, option number three scored the least. Second criteria was the project cost. How much to get this project off ground? If you look at option number one, which is expanding the church here, phase zero, which is pre-construction phase, it's stuff that we need to do before we start construction. Total of 2.5 million, which is buying the three remaining houses and paying off the debt on the current houses. And then phase number one, which is building the service building, and option number two is the expansion of church, which adds up to be $8.6 and $9 billion. Option number two, buying the land, is around $1 million, but the construction cost is the same. It doesn't matter where you are going to build the building cost is the same. So the only difference between these two options is the phase zero, which is pre-construction phase. And you can see in a big scheme of things, it's not a huge difference. Option number three, the church itself is between $3 to $4 million, which is not a huge cost, but again, it's not available. Based on this criteria, option number one scored the least because it's a little bit more expensive, around $1.2 million more than option number two. At the same time, the land is smaller compared to buying a land somewhere else. The third criteria was the schedule of the project, keeping in mind that we need the service building as soon as we can. Having this in mind, looking at option number one, we can have the service building up and running, serving our kids, our youth, as early as 2020, which is not far from here. The other one, think about it. Once you buy a land somewhere else, you can't start by the service building. You need to start by a church. So our priority, if we go with option number two, is to build the church first, which will delay when the service building will come. So we just need to keep this in mind. The third one is unknown. It depends on market availability. And according to what we saw in the last year, chances are very low. So based on this criteria, option number two and three scored the least. The fourth criteria was assets to guarantee the new the loan that we are going to take to start the project or to help us with the construction, pay some of the construction cost. So we looked at the current assets I mentioned before, and we have Green Bank land, we have St. Mary Cottage, and we have the daycare. While if you go with a new church somewhere else, you basically are starting from scratch. Based on this criteria, option number two and three score the least. Funding source. Think about it. Think about this one. Who's going to fund this project? It's us. So if we stay here, it's basically everybody in the church and everybody that wasn't able to attend today, but everybody belongs to St. Mary, will contribute to fund this project. While if you go with option number two or three, which is basically creating a new church, you are kind of splitting the congregation in half. So the burden of the financial cost will be distributed on half the congregation, not on everybody. So based on this criteria, again, option number two and three score the least. Last but not least, the maintenance cost. If we're going to have a new building, better energy efficient buildings these days compared to the current church, which is almost 25, 30 years old, the maintenance cost will be low for option number one and number two because there will be new buildings. But for option number three, the cost of the maintenance will be high. So maybe you are going to save a little bit up front, but you are going to pay it on every month on maintenance cost. So based on this criteria, option number 3 is called the least. Looking at this table now, you can eliminate option number 3 because it's not available. It's basically no different than what we have today. It's basically recreating the problem again somewhere else, and then we're dealing with this, face the same issues, same challenges in the future. Before I press the screen, I just want to say something very clearly. This is our recommendation as engineering committee. It's not to tell you what to do, as Ramesh said. So as engineering committee, we recommend, just based on numbers, we recommend option number 1. But by the end of the day, as you will see, we are seeking your input. We are seeking your feedback to choose between options number 1 and 2. If most of the congregation came back and say, no, we are willing to fund it, we are willing to go ahead and pay more and go with option number 2, by all means, let it be. We are not here to push you one way or the other. If you don't mind, can we just hold the question to the end? Thank you. Thanks. So for financing, you know, keeping option number 1 in mind, just to give you an idea, option number 2 is not far from option number 1 when it comes to finance and when it comes to schedule, except the switch between the church and the service building. So to pay off the debts, this is phase number 0. We need $2.2 million. Then we looked at phase number 1, which is actual construction. We came with two options here. One of them is use Green Bank land to guarantee the mortgage that we're going to take from the bank. And because the cost for option number 1 is for phase number one is $8.6 million, being commercial, we are not residential, the interest rate from the bank on the mortgage will be higher than what we pay for our houses, so it's around 4.5. This is based on meetings with financial institutions, by the way. Amortization can't exceed 20 years, so they said between 15 and 20, we bought 20, so it can reduce our monthly payments. Based on this simple calculations, you know, we are 200 families. To be conservative, this is how engineers think all the time. Being conservative, we assume that only 50% of the congregation is going to contribute financially to this project, which ends up to be around $540 per month per family. Then we looked at what other options we can propose here. The second option was, let's sell Green Bank land for the $2.5 million. Let's use this as a kickoff for the project when we reach the stage of construction. This way, the $8.6 million will be knocked down to $6.1 million. Same interest, same amortization period. So this will reduce the monthly contribution from each family to $385. So basically, this is our recommendation as an engineering committee, is when we reach the construction phase, let's sell the Green Bank land and use this to, you know, leapfrog the project, basically. Based on this, just to give you an idea when things can happen, we came up with this project roadmap. 2015, we initiated the project by the establishing of this committee. 2016, which is this year, we completed the feasibility study, as we explained now. And hopefully, once we have your feedback, once we get your decision, we are going to move ahead with the starting of the project, which is buying the houses for option number 1 or buying the land for option number 2. Hopefully, by 2020, we can have the service building up and running and serving our congregation. And we give ourselves a break in our planning between 2020 and 2023 to reevaluate our financial situation and see where we are at that point. Maybe the service building will draw more families to the church, which in turn will increase our revenue. We reevaluate, Bosnia reevaluate at this time, and based on this, we can decide to initiate phase number two, which is starting the church expansion project. So, moving forward. Today was the first presentation, and it's not going to be the last, because we know that we're all busy, so some people weren't able to make it today, and we would love to have everybody hear it directly from us. So, God will, next week, same time, we will have another presentation for people who missed this presentation and would like to be here and hear it from us. And the second one for people that will take this information back home. We know it's a lot of information that we are putting in front of you here. It took us a year to come to this, so I don't expect you to grasp it in half an hour. So you can take this information home, go through it, and if you have more questions, come next week. We'll be here to try to address your questions as best as we can. I'll open the question. I'll open the floor for questions at the end. So I don't want to break the flow so people didn't get distracted, but we'll definitely answer your question. We're going to have the presentation available on the church website, so you can go and download it, you can go and review it. This presentation also is recorded and it's available on the YouTube channel. And we have an information zone downstairs in the basement where you will have handouts that you can take home, which have all the floor plans. It has some information about the new building. And we'll be down there to answer your questions if you need somebody to talk with you about specific things. So it will be out there. The whole goal is we need to hear from you. We need to understand, what do you think about this project? And the way you're going to collect your feedback will be through a voting process. The voting can start today, and it will be open for 4 weeks. So until November 6th, the voting is open. So my recommendation is please don't rush and make a vote one way or the other. Take your time, think about it. It's a big project. It's not something that we should take lightly. So take your time, think about it before you vote. The voting can be done in person downstairs in the basement. And because we need financial support on this one, so no offense to the young generation, but we are limiting voting for 18 years and up because we need to hear from people who can actually commit. The last thing we want to do is to start a project and we won't have enough fund to complete. You can also send your voting by email, and this is the email address, and it will be available on the website of the church as well. The voting is basically 4 questions. The first one is, do you consider the church expansion essential to the future of the church for serving current and future needs? And you just simply choose yes or no. Because we're all different. I don't expect everybody in this church to vote for the same option. To be honest with you, something will be wrong if this happened. I think some people will think one way, some people will think the other, but we need the majority to drive this project forward, support and drive it forward. Second one is, which option do you recommend? Which option are you willing to support? Option number one, expand the church here, or option number two, which is go out and buy new land and buy a new church, build a new church. The third one is, are you willing to support this project financially? So this is a question that, some people can support either option, but they can't support the project financially, which is fine. We just need to hear from you and know who can support us financially and who can't. The last one is a catch-all. If you have any other comments about the plans, about the project in general, please, we are all here to listen to you, to hear what you'd like to say. To prevent redundancy on the voting, because you're going to collect the votes through different weeks, whoever is going to vote, the voting sheet itself have no names, have no IDs, no numbers, nothing. So nobody will never know which option or which direction you voted for. But we are going to collect the name of the people who voted just to make sure on a separate sheet, completely independent, just to see who voted and just prevent duplication if it ever happened. And that's it. This is all what we have to say, and now it's time for questions. Sure.